bringing us into your house today. Thank you for being you, for being our cornerstone, and for being the Lord of all. Thank you for being everything, for being our rock and our foundation, God, for proving to us that you are all we need, God. Be with Ron as he brings the message. May it fall on open hearts, open minds, God. Be with us as we go about our weeks, God, that we shine your lights to this community and throughout the world, God. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do. In Jesus' name.
Again, thank you so much for being here today. We're in week two of our new series called The Good Shepherd, and we're just looking at some statements from Jesus, some I am statements that help us to understand who he is and how we can trust him, how we can know him, how we can depend on him. And these are just factual things about who he is and how the scriptures then, not only did Jesus say it, but the scriptures back it up, and that we can know it about him and begin a relationship with him that allows us to be all that he wants us to be. And so often when we don't know people, we make all kinds of assumptions and judgments and everything else, and very rarely do we trust them. And so it takes time to spend together, and it takes time to just get to know each other. And so that's what this series is to do for us and lead us up to Easter in a couple of weeks, where we can certainly know him and know him in full and know what he has done for us. And so today I want us to talk about our second I am statement. Last week we talked about Jesus saying that he is the vine. He said, I am the vine, and so we need to be connected to him. We need to have a relationship with him. We need to know him. And then as we're connected to him, then he uses us and does things in our lives. And so today I want us to talk about where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and to know what that means for us. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. So he says, I am the good shepherd. And not only am I the good shepherd, but there's something that comes along with that, and as a shepherd, that you're willing to sacrifice yourself for him and for the sheep. And he says, I'm the good shepherd. God is good. Amen? He is good. And all the time, God is good. That's right. And that's kind of one of those little cliche little Christian sayings that we have. But, you know, there's so much truth to that. And we've got to be able to know it and understand it and be able to trust it. We say that as a church, that you are a community church, exists to help people be devoted to God, to others, and to the good news of Jesus. It's good news because he's good. And we need to be able to trust that and to know that. And so he says, I am the good shepherd. And so he says, so what we need to understand, he says, I am the good shepherd, which means that there must be the opposite. That means there are some bad shepherds, right? Or there is a bad shepherd if he's the good one. And he's helping us understand that. He says this in verse 1 of John chapter 10, he says, I tell you the truth, that anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. See, sometimes we need to look at for things that where things don't happen the way they're supposed to, right? A gate is for us to enter through. If there's a wall, then that means it's meant to keep something out, that we're not supposed to climb over it. There is a right way to do things. And Jesus says that we need to understand that sometimes when there's a thief, when somebody comes into the sheepfold a way they're not supposed to, then there's a problem. As he's talking about the thief and the robber, he's certainly talking about our spiritual enemy, the devil, Satan. He's making it sure that we understand that there's a good shepherd. And what happens is the shepherd, if the sheepfold are within the walls of that, then the shepherd's at the gate and he's guarding it. The shepherd would sleep in the gate to prevent anything from coming through that gate into there. So if anything wanted to get the sheep, it had to come over the wall. And he says, if that's the case, then there's a problem, and we have that spiritual enemy. And we just need to be honest about it. There is an enemy that has come to kill, steal, and destroy anything that matters to God. He says in verse 10 of John chapter 10 that the thief's purpose is just that, to steal and kill and destroy. But then he says, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I ain't getting no amen out of that. Jesus came to give us a rich and satisfying life. That we're not supposed to have to go through life in misery and in pain of all the things that we choose to do against him. That's not the purpose. It's a rich, satisfying life. Doesn't mean it's rich that all our bank accounts are full. That'd be nice, right? I'd be a Christian just if that was the case, wouldn't everybody? But I'm not a Christian because my bank account gets full. I'm a Christian because heaven went bankrupt for me to have a relationship with the one that made me. And so this, as we look at this, that there is a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. The good shepherd came to give us the fullness of life, and then there's the enemy who wants to take it all away and prevent us from ever experiencing it. In this analogy, Jesus says he's the good shepherd. This metaphor there. So in the metaphor, who are we? We're the sheep, right? That is who he's talking about. And it says that the love of God through his Son is that he desires a rich and satisfying life for us. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, and I don't want you to acknowledge it anyway, but I want you to think about this inside. But how many of us are really living a full, satisfying life right now? Is your life full and satisfying? If it's not, there's probably a reason why it's not. And that's why we need to understand who the good shepherd is, so that we can know that. And hear this as he uses us and uses sheep to illustrate who we are. Did you know that sheep are mentioned in the Bible more than any other animal? Kind of interesting, isn't it? I mean, he talks about dogs. I think there's 44 references to dogs in there, but to sheep, there's over 200. I had no mention of cats. Just saying. I mean, unless you want to put a lion as a cat. And then he says that the devil goes around roaring like a lion. I'm just saying, cats, whatever. You take that for what it's worth. Some of you cat lovers, you'll send me bad messages. That's okay. Cats just have this attitude, you know. Anyway, I won't get off on that. But sheep are mentioned more in the Bible than any other thing because he's helping us to understand how we can relate to him and how we are. See, sheep, unfortunately, it's not great news that he uses them to illustrate us. Because sheep are stupid, okay? They're stupid. And I mean, I'm just being honest. They're not very smart animals. They don't do things very well. You'll never go to the circus and see a bunch of trained sheep anywhere. You know? It just doesn't happen. They're not smart enough to figure this out. And so as we look at this illustration, we have to understand that, you know, sometimes we're not very smart. And that's a reality of as God helps us to understand how we're to do this. And there are some challenges to being a sheep. There's challenges to being who he's called, you know, who he's illustrated us to be. The first one is this, that sheep get lost easily. Right? Sheep get lost easily. Now, men, I know that your wife probably just elbowed you. But see, we don't get lost. We just hadn't found our way quite yet, okay? We're just finding a new way. That's what we're being adventurous. So it's not that we're lost. It's just that we're still searching for the right way to get somewhere. And we'll figure it out. Just let us drive around another hour, okay? But here's the thing. In Isaiah 53, it says that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. So all of us have, right? What's the Greek, you know, the Greek meaning of all is what? It's all, right? I mean, there is no exception that we all have done this. We've gone our own way and done things our own. And sheep very commonly would get out of the group and they would find their own way and they would meander away and the shepherd would have to go and find them and bring them back into that. I think that's where many of us, we're trying to meander our way through life, trying to figure it out on our own, and trying to do whatever we can do to make it work, right? We try to find the perfect job to get us through, because if we just have the right job, man, we'll be right. If we just have the right amount of money, we'll be just right. If we have the right person in our life, we'll be just right. If we have the perfect kids, we'll be just right. If I just open this bottle, I'll just be okay. If I just click on this site, I'll be okay. We've tried to find ways to make it okay and to get us through. But the good news is that there's a good shepherd who wants to lead us through and help us to do it. In fact, we'll see that he's done some amazing things for us to be able to do that. But sheep get lost very easily. Number two, sheep are defenseless. I mean, think about it. Everything, you know, cats have claws and, you know, some have fangs. You know, some animals have fangs. Some of them, you know, skunks got a stink. You know, I mean, everybody's got some kind of defense. But sheep, really, what do they have? Well, they do have a hard head. We're going to talk about that too. But they don't have really a way to protect themselves. They just, you know, they try to find a way. I mean, I think the best defense a sheep has is that when somebody comes after them, it just tells them that they better back off. Yeah. I started to warn you. I started to, but there is not much to a sheep's defense. They just don't have a way to protect themselves. They don't have a way to do it, so somebody has to do it for them. They're very vulnerable, and so we need to understand that as sheep, we're very vulnerable to the lies of the enemy. And some of you have been told these lies for a long time, and it's time to not hear the lies of the enemy anymore, but the truth of the one who made you and loves you. Sheep are defenseless. Number three, sheep are very stubborn. Right? A hard head. Somebody look at the person beside you and say, I think he's talking about you. See, I thought I'd just get it out. I just thought I'd get it out because you're thinking it and you want to say it to him. But I just thought you can blame it on me. We're all kind of sheep-like, aren't we? We're incredibly stubborn. Well, we tend to want to put our heads in a direction and just go that way. I read that sheep, when they're out, they will, if they find themselves into an area with rocks and they get into a narrow area, that they will follow that until they get to a point where they can't go anymore, and then they just stop. Because they're too stubborn to back up. They only want to go where they want to go. They don't want to back up. Sheep don't go in reverse, right? If they did, they'd go beep, beep, beep. No, sorry, I just had to do it. I just had to do it. I did actually. Y'all should watch me in my office sometimes on Sunday morning. Anyway, my name's Ron, by the way. Cheap name tags. I shouldn't have bought the cheap ones, right? But we're stubborn. We want to do things our way. We want to stay going that way. It's like the girl who says, you know what, I always get the bad guys. But you keep fishing with the same old bad stuff. Right? Some people say, oh man, I don't have any money. I'm broke all the time. Let's go to the mall and talk about it. You see, we're stubborn. Right? We want to keep doing things the way we've always done it, hoping we'll get something different. But we're only going to get what we've always gotten, and we know what that's the definition of insanity, right? But we're stubborn. We want to do it our way. Number four, sheep are filthy. That's not good news, is it? That's kind of tough. We've all seen the little fluffy white sheep on the Serta commercials where we're supposed to count them, you know, and they're all cute and cuddly. And, you know, I think my mom and dad even have a couple of those at home that they got from buying a mattress or something. Little cute, little fur. And knowing my dad, he really didn't buy a mattress. He just went and talked the guy out of a couple. But that's, is that true, Dad? Yeah, that's what I figured. But they're cute and white, and we see them on the, you know, on the cartoons and all that stuff. But the truth is, they're just nasty. If you see a clean sheep, it's because somebody washed it and cared for it and taken it. I mean, it's amazing to watch when a sheep is ready to be sheared and how just nasty that looks. And they shave them down into this pile of nasty-looking fur, and then they take it and weave it, and then they make our clothes. I just don't even know how that even happens. You know, they're filthy and stinky and bad, and many of us, without Jesus, that's how we are. Man, I just was talking to somebody this morning about some things that are going on in their life and that they're trying to help in some situations. And as I was talking about it, it just took me back to where how filthy I was in my life at one point. Just how dirty things were. Just how far from God I really was. Even though I thought I was close, I thought I was right there, I was really far away. I didn't have a relationship with him. I was focused on how I was going to get through it rather than how he was going to take me through it. The sheep are filthy. And the bottom line on all of these things is that sheep need a shepherd. They need somebody to help them through all of this, right? And you and I, as sheep, we need a shepherd too. In fact, we need a savior. We need someone that would come and who would give himself for us to help us get through this life. And that's who Jesus is. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And the shepherd sacrifices himself for the sheep. And so I want to spend the rest of our time together today just talking about the good shepherd and what he does for us. So that hopefully as you leave here today, that maybe you find yourself just one of those, that you've just been stubborn, you're filthy, you're just at a place where you get what it's like to be a sheep. Maybe today you can leave knowing that you don't have to be a sheep on your own, that there's a good shepherd who will lead you through and who will care for you and will help you see things better. So what does the good shepherd do? The first thing is this, write it down, he guides. He guides. Psalm 23, verse 3. If you know the 23rd Psalm, it's probably the most popular one. You hear it read all the time, but Jesus says, the Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. He starts out making sure that we know that the Lord is my shepherd. David's writing it, and he says, he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. He renews my strength, and he guides me along just any old path? The right path, right? He guides us through so that we can know that the good shepherd guides us through it. You ever find yourself having to make some big decisions? I think all of us have to do that, right? Some point. Whenever you have decisions to make, the Good Shepherd is there to guide you through it. He says this in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. You probably didn't hear that, so let me read it again. They follow him because they know his voice. David, as he's illustrating the Lord, and as John's writing here, as he's helping us to understand that he makes sure that we know that there is this gatekeeper. That the thief may try to come over the wall, but the gatekeeper helps us. So John's writing, making sure that we get this. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. He's the one that's there. He's been helping. And so he allows the sheep to then come to the shepherd, to recognize his voice and to come to him. And he'll call out to them, and then they'll come on out. It's amazing to watch it happen, and they just do it. Why do they just follow him? Because they know his voice. How do they know his voice? They've heard it. Once? Probably over and over and over again, because they've spent time with him. They've had these opportunities to be around him, and so they know him. You need to know that God can speak to you, right? Mike Pence isn't crazy. He talks to Jesus, and Jesus talks to him. He's not crazy. He's just saying something that people don't understand because they've never experienced it. And maybe you're even here today, and you're like, man, that sounds like a bunch of junk to me. Some imaginary thing, being speaks to me, or what? I'm going to hear some voice out of the drain or something like Drano Man, or why? What is it? No, listen, it's you got to know that when you know the Good Shepherd, that you will hear his voice and you will know it's him. Can he speak audibly to you? I absolutely believe that, right? I mean, I know that I've heard him speak to me. I had plenty of sleep. I didn't have pizza the night before. It was him, right? It was him guiding me and helping me understand it. But you know what? How he really, that's been very few times, quite honestly, that I've just ever heard him say something to me. But I've heard him over and over and over again speak to me through his word, the Bible. I've heard him over and over and over again speak to me through other pastors. I've heard him over and over and over again speak to me through you guys. I've had him speak to me over and over and over again through the circumstances that he's allowed me to be in. So you need to know that he speaks to us. But the problem is we don't know his voice because we don't often spend time with him. If you took me and if you took 50 women and you put them all in a room and let them start talking, because they're going to start talking, and they're going to talk and talk and talk, right? All 50 of them are allowed to be talking at one time because they're going to be talking to each other and they're going to be understanding it, right? You take 50 guys and you put them in a room, it's silence. Because we're probably watching a game or whatever. But you put 50 women in a room, there's going to be some talking happening. But if you took that room full of 50 women, if my wife was one of them and you blindfolded me and led me through there, I would know her voice whenever I heard it. See, maybe y'all know this story, but me and Kelly used to travel with a singing group. I didn't sing. I did the sound, drove the bus. She sang, right? And we were part of this group. We're in right outside of Yeah, Milford, Ohio. She knows it very well. We were on the bus. It was late one night. We were getting ready to head out. I was driving. There was a gentleman who was on the bus with us that from India and that we had met there. He was talking to us, and some other members of the group were up there talking. And somebody had bought, we were at Perkins Restaurant. Remember Perkins? Man, they used to have some incredible pies up front, you know, and you can tell I like pie, right? You know, I've had a few in my life. And so I'm eating a big piece of apple pie, and I'm eating it, and undoubtedly somewhere in between there, my wife said something to me. She said, "Hey, I'm going back in to use the bathroom. Don't leave without me." So when I was done eating my piece of pie and Mr. Thomas got off the bus, I said, "Let's go." I was ready to get back to Virginia. So we shut the door. I cranked it up. We were gone. 45 minutes later, somebody said, "Where's Kelly?" I said, "Oh, she's not feeling good. She's in the back." "You sure?" "Yeah, I know. Because I know my wife. I know her voice. She's back there. I heard her, right, or something. I don't know. But I knew she was back there." So they said, "Okay." So in the middle of the bus, this was one of the customized buses. U2 had actually owned it at one time. But it had these bunks in there, and they had curtains. And so all of a sudden I heard, "Let's see, I go check." So I heard, shh, 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 shh. And about the third one, I started getting pretty nervous. And they checked them all, no Kelly. I said, "Maybe she's in the back of the bus." Nope, no Kelly. So in the middle of an interstate, I took a 40-foot bus and we did a U-turn. And we went back, and we stopped at the nearest place we could pull over, and somebody went and got the number, called Perkins Restaurant, and said, "Hey, I think we may have left somebody there." They said, "Oh, you mean Kelly?" She doesn't have a problem getting to know people. Unfortunately, there were some men there that I think were trying to get to know her pretty well that night and invited her to come stay with them, but fortunately, she didn't take them up on that, but she... probably thought about it just to get, you know, just to show me, but no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, we pulled up, she gets on the bus, and the only thing she said to me was, "When I speak, you listen." And she went to the back of the bus, and I've done my best from that point on, when she spoke, for me to listen. But you see, when we don't listen to the voice, we don't pay attention to what God's saying to us, we can miss out on His plan for us. It's important that we know we have a good shepherd that guides us and that we can know His voice and that He will lead us through this life. Now, I don't know where I would be today. I know where I was heading on my own, being stubborn and filthy and all those things, defenseless and all that. But I don't know what I would do if I didn't have Him to guide me. If you don't recognize the Good Shepherd's voice, let me just put it to you very clean. You either, one, don't know Him, or you just don't spend enough time with Him to know His voice. He wants to speak to you. He wants to have a relationship with you, and He wants to guide you through. He's the Good Shepherd. So if you're not experiencing that, then maybe it's time to come to a place where you get to know Him and you get to know His voice. The second thing that He does is He provides. He guides and He provides. He's a good shepherd who provides very well. David writes in Psalm 23 in the first verses, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." You think David had all he wanted? No, not when he was writing this. But he says, "I have all that I need." I think we all have all that we need, if we want to really be honest about it. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. How often do you see sheep lying down? Okay, I know most of you don't see sheep very often. Point taken, okay? But you don't see them lying down. Because it takes a lot to get a sheep to be able to lie down. First, they've got to be at peace. They've got to be at peace with one another. There can't be conflict within the fold for them to be able to then lie down. Until there's peace there, they're not going to rest. Until they're fed, they're not going to lie down. It takes some pretty amazing things for them to finally get to that place to be able to do that, to rest. They've got to feel safe. And some of us need a good shepherd to come into our home because, listen, we're not able to rest. Man, our home is in turmoil. Our marriage is falling apart. Our kids are just out of control, and we don't know where we're going next. We need a good shepherd to come and bring us the things that we need. It says that he leads me beside quiet waters. See, if they're rushing water, they're not going into it because it would wash them away. They'd be this big fur ball floating down the water, right? So he says, no, we need rest and we need peaceful waters. And so he leads me beside quiet waters so they can drink and take in what they need to survive. Jesus is the living water for us. Listen, there are peaceful, quiet waters in the relationship with God. I mean, there might be torrential downpours and there may be flooding all around us, but in that relationship with Jesus, there's quiet waters for us to be able to spend time with him. The Bible says, then David writes, he refreshes my soul. Man, I had to go in this week and I needed some refreshing time. I've talked with a bunch of y'all and y'all need some refreshing time too. You just need that. And God's the provider of that. The good shepherd wants to provide those things for you. In the middle of all of life's most difficult things, you know, you're facing marriage issues and kid issues, or you got sickness in your family or whatever. Listen, he's the one, the only one that can bring that refreshing and that peace into your life. All the other things may satisfy it for a moment, but he's the only thing that can do that. So maybe today your soul is just not at peace. It's not at rest. Jesus is the good shepherd who brings that. He provides that for you. So he provides. He guides. And number three, he corrects. He corrects. Say, my shepherd corrects. Say it again. My shepherd corrects. See, there's sometimes with the good, right? You got to take the tough. I don't like to say bad because it's not bad. It's hard. But sometimes the shepherd has to allow us to experience some things to get us where he needs us to be. Maybe today you're wandering like a sheep. You're kind of dealing with some of the correction. It's not a fun place to be. In fact, Job, he knew it pretty well. He knew a little bit about suffering. If you know the account of Job in the Bible, He had some pretty tough things happen to him. But he said this in chapter 5, verse 17. He says, but consider the joy of those corrected by God. I don't know that I've ever experienced or felt joy when I got corrected. When I was a kid, you know, mom or dad had to correct me. That was not joyful at all. He says, but consider it joy when we're corrected by God. That's just because of how much He loves us. That there's joy in it because He loves us enough to allow us to be turned back the right way. It says, do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin, for though He wounds, He also bandages. He strikes, but His hands also heal. Seems like an odd thing for God to do, to actually wound and then bind up and to strike and then to heal. You know, I tried that when I was telling my kids that, but they didn't really buy the whole hand, this is all for your good thing, right? You know, you ever tell your kid that when you discipline? This is for your good. Whenever I heard that, I was like, This just goes, you just want to wear my tail out because you're mad at me, you know? But the truth is that I know that my parents disciplined me not because they hated me, because they wanted bad for me. They did it because they wanted good for me. They wanted to do that. So there was a wounding, but there was a healing, a bandaging, a taking care of. And it says the good shepherd does that for us. Kind of interesting that the shepherd would take the rod. See, the rod was a little, like a half a nunchuck, right? I started to bring my nunchucks out here and show you, but I didn't want to show off. But I was afraid I'd hurt myself, really. But what do you do when the preacher knocks himself out with some nunchucks? I don't know. Sing a song, yeah, and go home. Thank goodness. At least it shut him up. But he would take the rod, and what he would do, sometimes when there was a sheep that would often want to wander away, is he would come, he would crack that sheep on the leg and wound him so that he couldn't wander away. But then what he would do is he would then pick up the sheep and he would put it over his shoulder and he would carry it till it healed. You see, the sheep didn't wander off anymore after that. Even once the healing came, he didn't wander off anymore because he had a relationship with the shepherd now that was unlike any other relationship could have. And God does the same thing when we trust Him and we rely on Him in the middle of our difficulties, is that He may allow us to be wounded. He may allow things to come that hurt us and bring us down to get our attention, but then He will certainly be there to bind us up and to heal us from those things. See, we need the correction. It sounds very cruel that would happen, but that's how He does it. And there may be time when our good and loving God lets us face the consequences of our own stupid decisions. Man, could I write a book? Bad part is I'm probably not done yet. Because I'm breathing. But sometimes He just lets us face the consequences to keep us from making more dumb decisions. No one sits around going, oh, I think God's disciplined me. This is going to be good. Thank you, God. None of us do that. No, it's tough. You know, when I have to get onto my girls and I correct them about something, I know they're not sitting there just can't wait for that to happen. Can't wait for that phone to be taken away. But here's what the Bible says, that no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. God will allow things to happen to us, and He'll allow us to be disciplined in it so that then we won't have to experience that again. We may be sheep and keep doing the same thing over, but the reality is the good shepherd is there to keep us from doing that again. If we'll trust Him and allow Him to work in it and work through us, He guides. He provides, He corrects, and He protects. Number 4, He protects. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect and comfort me." I love the way that word protect and comfort is like right there together. When he's with me, I've got nothing to fear. When he's with me, I'm at rest in my soul. When he's with me, I know he's working in all things to bring about the good for me as I trust him and as I love him and as I do the things that he asked me to do. He's working things for the good for us if we're trusting him. The staff was a hook. You know, it was the one with the hook on it. And it could be used to rescue a sheep. And it could also be used to comfort it and to rub it and to pet it and to show it love and that it was important. Sometimes we only see the rod and the staff as those things that God uses to discipline us. But it's really for our own protection. He says that you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. See, sheep, one of the problems they had were that flies would get around their nose and they would go up in there, they would lay their eggs, and these fly larvae would hatch. Right? And that's just nasty, I know. But here's what would happen is that would aggravate the sheep. And they couldn't exactly scratch their nose. Some of you it just made your nose itch, didn't it? I know. I saw it. Saw the arms go up. But what would happen is those larvae would then crawl up and they would actually get inside the sheep's head. Y'all, if I keep coming up with these gross illustrations, y'all are not going to come back. But that's what they would get in there, and it would eventually drive the sheep crazy, and they would take that hard head and they would beat it on whatever they could get until they would kill themselves, trying to find relief from this annoying thing in their head. Sound familiar? Some of you in the room have experienced that to a great degree, and if we're all honest, many of us have done it. We've looked for relief from the stuff that's driving us nuts in a lot of different ways. But the anointing with oil was to be, it was a insect repellent. The oil, it kept the flies away from getting into their nose and doing this. It protected the sheep from this. Says, "You anoint my head with oil." The good shepherd takes care of us. That phrase, "my cup overflows with blessing," refers back to the Old Testament tradition in the Palestine homes of when you had a guest, they'd put the wine glasses out, and as they had dinner, they would drink, and then as long as the host was pouring the wine, you could stay. But when they stopped pouring, it was time to go. You ever really just wanted to go hide the cheer wine in the house so the people would leave? You come over and I stand in front of the refrigerator, you know it's time to go, I guess. But he says, "My cup's overflowing because you just keep pouring. You want my relationship. You want me to be in this with you." Verse 6 says, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." He protects us. He wants that relationship. Doesn't mean that you'll never fall into physical harm, but it does mean in spiritual terms that he stored up for you an inheritance, and he is there to go through that with you. In a relationship with the good shepherd, you never have to be alone. He's always there looking out for you. Always trying to develop that relationship with you. He's the one who would lay down his life for you. Jesus told the parable in Luke 15. It says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, because he's not going to quit till he does. You get that? It doesn't say if he finds it. It says when he finds it. When he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. It says he loses one, he goes and looks for it. And the inference is that he doesn't stop. Because he says when he finds it, he's there to bring him back home. And not only does he just bring him home, but says he gets the neighbors together and has a party over it. See, I believe when one person who's lost and doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, whenever they hear the good news of Jesus and accept it, that God's right there, brings them in, and in heaven there is a party. And see, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, there was a moment where you said, yes, Jesus, I know that you are my Savior. I know that you died for me on a cross, that you paid the price for me, that you died there, you were taken off, buried, and the third day you were raised again, that I know that Jesus, you died for my sins, you paid the price, and I'm now free of that penalty, that I can trust you and believe that you are there to be the good shepherd, to guide me, to protect me, to provide for me, to correct me, that is you, then the moment you made that decision, that's who he was, says there was a party. Here's the thing. If you've never done that, he says, you're the one wandering. And he's looking. He's right there, looking for you. And when he finds you, he's going to welcome you in. He's going to pick you up and put you over his shoulder, and he's going to carry you home. And he's going to have a party over it. So maybe you made that decision before and you just missed that whole significance. But it's there. Maybe today you're that one and there's no party that's been had yet for you. The good news is this, that the good shepherds, they're waiting. And they're going to be a party today. By golly, they'll throw one in heaven and we might just throw one here. I think there's some cheer wine and sun drop in there. It's probably flat, but we'll party, okay? Because it's important that we understand that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cares enough about you that he came and he sacrificed himself for you and for me and for every person who would live so that we could have the opportunity to be in relationship with God. Today we can experience that. See, if you're not hearing his voice, maybe, and you've made that decision before, listen, it's time to spend some time with him and get to know him better. To know his voice. To know when he says whatever it is that you need to hear, that you'll know it and you can respond to it. And maybe today you don't know his voice because you just don't know him. And today you can do that and we can celebrate with you and they can celebrate in heaven for you. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for you. And he's done it. Now it's time to be a found sheep. What's your choice? God, today we thank you so much. That when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, that God, the implications of that are huge. Maybe in our minds we hear that and we think of some smelly guy out in the desert or out in the woods or fields, just wandering by himself, nothing better to do. Can't get a better job, so that's what he does. Whatever our minds may comprehend about a shepherd, God, today you illustrate that in such a great way. That God, that you guide us and you provide for us and you correct us and you protect us. That the illustration is that of one who has a love and a care beyond anything we can imagine. God, we can search here on earth and always think that we found somewhere to belong. We can think we found a group to be a part of. God, we can find those groups based on what music we listen to, what teams we like. Often we can find groups that bring us together because of our hurts. We can try within ourselves and within the others in that group to find peace. But God, the only way to find peace is the one who is peace, who gives it. God, the only place to find real love is in the one who is love, and that's you. So today, God, I know there's some folks here that are struggling with some things or they're hurting. God, there's some decisions they made that didn't go the way they thought they would. They've chosen to try to do it themselves rather than trusting you. God, we all do it. There's some here who are still trusting those choices rather than trusting you. God, there's some here today that are just hurting. I don't know why, just there's pain. So God, I pray today that they would let you be the one that bandages them up. And let you be the one that heals them, God. That everywhere else they look, they're not going to find what they will find in you. So God, may today you be somebody's good shepherd for the very first time that they would trust you. May today you be the good shepherd for some people that forgot what that felt like and they trusted you. Today will you be the good shepherd, God, for that one that's wandered away. God, speak to us. In Jesus' name.